Hello everyone, it is me, Anna. Welcome to episode 27 on my podcast, Your Favorite YA Bookworm. I hope you are all doing all right. I made a mistake last week. I said it was episode 28, but it was episode 26. I guess this is what happens when you disappear for a couple of months. This week's episode is on Glint, the sequel of last week's book, Guild by Raven Kennedy. I really liked book one, as you know, but this one, oh my god, it got even better. I recommend you listen to my episode on Guild before listening to this one if you haven't already, so it makes sense and you get my references and stuff. Before diving into the book, a kind reminder to please rate, share, and subscribe to my podcast, mostly on iTunes. It will help me a lot and it won't take you more than 30 seconds. You can also find me on Instagram at Your Favorite YA Bookworm, just like the title of this show. I post their quotes and memes from the books featured here. Now, let's talk about the book. It starts a few hours after where the story was left off in book one. I'm not going to start there though. There were some chapters from Queen Malina, so King Smida's wife's POV. I'm going to start with those as a block, even though they were spread throughout the book. So King Midas is still in the Fifth Kingdom trying to manipulate people to gain full control of the kingdom and make his territory larger. So she is left alone in Hybel, so the Sixth Kingdom. And well, as you already know, she hates her husband. And well, since he is not there controlling her, she decides it is time she is the queen she was raised to be. She calls on her mother's dressmaker and makes her do dresses of her family colors, and she puts them on as well as her mother's opal crown. Everyone is super shocked by this because King Midas had dictated that everyone in the castle should wear gold and that everything should be golden. But well, he's not longer there, is he? No one knew what to do, so they played along. Then she decided to go to the throne room for the hearings, and she did not sit on her throne, but on the king's throne. Everyone gasped at this, but she is a bad bitch, and she was like, well, the ruler sits in this throne, and I am ruling Hybel. I am therefore sitting in the right place. It was such a girl boss move. I was like, oh my gosh, I love you. Like, I hate you, but I love you for that. Such a badass move. And well, as time goes by, she starts to gain more and more control of her kingdom. Her soldiers and advisors start wearing her colors. She secures the support of many noble families, and now there is no communication coming in and out without her supervision. Very totalitarian of her, but also really badass. She then gets a salary for herself and makes it very public. One of my favorite scenes of the book is when she receives a letter from the Snow Pirates. Her advisor brings it to her and the salary is there entertaining her. And the advisor is so shocked and she's like, what? If Midas does this, why wouldn't I? The drama of it was mainly because she's a woman. But she does not care. And I was like, oh my gosh, go off, queen. We love women's empowerment. And well, she dismisses the advisors and opens the letter. It was to inform her that they lost Orin. She was taken by the Fourth Kingdom's army. She was basically the one who set the ambush of the pirates. And well, she's super happy by this since she got rid of her. And she's like, oh my gosh, they're gonna torture her and this will torture Midas. And I get, like, she hates her husband and wants to punish him for being a terrible person and overpowering her, but it annoys me it is at the cost of another woman. We women should stick together. Midas being an ass is not, like, on Orin. Like that Midas treats her badly is not on Orin, and she should not be used like this. But well, Malina is super happy and decides to celebrate with her saddler. She's very dominant with him, and while riding him, she's like, just like I'm dominating him, I'll dominate my kingdom, no more Midas. And I was like, what a girl boss thing to say, like, go off, Malina. And then she says how better her saddler is in bed compared to Midas, and I was like, yes, girl. Although I'm still mad about the Orin thing, like, I do not forgive that. More time goes by, and now she wants to win the support of the poor people who have been neglected for a long time. She starts to give them money and gifts, but then it backfires to her when a lady calls her out for neglecting them for so long and now wanting to buy them. The people start to rebel. Malina is like, rude, this is not the reaction I wanted. Before they start to get violent, she enters her carriage and leaves, but stops midway because there was a carriage in the middle of the road. She comes out to see what is happening. The owner of the carriage introduces himself. He tells her he has a superpower, but she's reluctant to believe him. He says he can show people how to attain their biggest desire. She's skeptical about this, but accepts for him to do his magic. He touches her hand and a map appears on it. She thinks it is a scam since it is an inaccurate map. It shows the Seventh Kingdom that does not exist anymore and has not existed for a long time. The strange man tells her things are not what they seem. And as he says that, his carriage that was getting fixed starts working now, and he leaves. She's like, what the fuck? What a lunatic. But she knows what she felt is magic and not a trick. So she's like, and I was like, I think I know where this is going, but I'm not sure. I feel she needs to unite forces with the Fae to eliminate Midas, and I also feel they might be able to give her magic that she desires so much and gift her with the ability to have children that she so desperately wants to. But those are just speculations, we shall see. And while that is all about Melina, it is time to finally start talking about Oren. And just FYI, there are some plot twists. And so get ready, go get your popcorn, because oh my gosh, you are so not ready. So now let's go back to Oren. As mentioned, the book starts a few hours later from the ending of the last one. Oren is in a carriage, she's super nervous since she does not know what the men of the 4th army are going to do to her and the other saddlers and guards. She's super tired after all she has been through, but she stays alert even if it's painful. Eventually they stop. I don't remember who comes to escort her out, I think it is Reap. He looks at her ribbons she just untied cautiously, and after they insult each other, he tells her which tent is hers. It is the farthest away. She's skeptical of it, since she does not know if it is so they can better take advantage of her. She goes there and sees that the tent is quite luxurious and is surprised that there was a path made to get there. She does not understand why they are giving her so much freedom and why she's well treated. After refreshing herself a little, she goes to investigate the camp. She wants to know where the others are and see if she can find a messenger bird to tell Midas that she has been captured by the 4th army. If she only knew, he already knows, but well. Osric, the right hand of Reap, realizes she's wandering around and tells her to be careful. She insults him and King Rod, and he tells her, be more careful next time or I'll make you pay for your words. Kind of same vibes of Asriel in Akawar with his epic careful how you speak about my high lady. If you have not listened to my episode on those series, you should. Back to the book, she goes into her tent and cleans herself. So she was naked in the tent, and while she was dressing up, someone abruptly enters. It is Reap. She tries to cover herself up and she starts panicking internally. She was like, well, all men are the same, aren't they? But as soon as he entered and saw she was naked, he walked away. A few minutes later, Hojat, the medic of the camp, announced he was there to see her and entered. He tells her he was sent by Reap since he noticed she was hurt, because she was, and badly. She gets all nervous and does not let the doctor touch her. He's like, okay, calm down, Lady Oren, I swear I am here to help you. She eventually lets him help her by accepting to take some meds and stuff, and she sees he's a good man, but still she does not let him touch her nor check her rib, which seems to be broken since she's afraid he's going to discover her ribbons. She's like this because she had really bad experiences growing up, like really bad. I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. And when you read how much she was abused as a child, you understand better why she is the way she is and the obsession with Midas and her blindness and like her blindness to his big ass red flags. Later on at night, Reap re-enters the tent and she panics once again. She thinks he is going to molest her, but no. He takes off his clothes and goes to sleep in the other fur bed there. She is startled by this, and all the luxuries in the tent make sense now. It is his tent. He later on explains he does not trust her to be around her soldiers, not because of what the soldiers could do to her, since he tells her his soldiers respect women, but of what she could do to them. And she is so shocked by this. But at the same time, she's like, actually, all the men here never looked at me with eyes that say I want to molest you, but just disdain or curiosity. The next day, she walks around camp and sees some people making a line to get their breakfast. The cook spots her and talks to her a little and makes her skip the line to get some food first. She does and eats it fast. The cook keg is like, "That's my girl. Look at her, soldiers. You do not enjoy my food as well as she does." And while she's not picky with it, since her entire life before Maida, she had to eat whatever to survive, mostly when she was a child slave of child trafficking. She likes Ked, and she also low-key likes Hojat, the healer, and the carriage during the day. Like, she's left alone, so it's not a great time for her, since she has nothing to do. She's forced to think, which she does not like, since she remembers some traumatic things. She does not like to remember, but left alone, you only have your thoughts. It is another type of torture, and it's not fun whatsoever. The farther I can be from some of my memories, as we all, best for me too, so I felt for her. Some days go by like this. Every day she tries to look for the messenger birds, but she's not successful. Rip asks her questions from time to time about herself and her life with Midas. She overthinks this a lot. She tries to see what information he's trying to get from her to hurt Midas. She's really defensive. I know you might be thinking, well, Midas kept her in a cage. Why is she so faithful to him? Now that she is a prisoner of the enemy, she has more freedom. Why not switch sides? Well, as mentioned, she was abused a lot, and when you are in a bad state of mind and someone comes in and is nice to you for once, of course you will develop strong feelings towards this person. So she, of course, is blindly loyal to him and tries to see what Rip wants of her. And he's like, girl, I'm not asking about him. I'm asking about you. Chill. But she does not trust him, and this keeps going on. Another night, she finds Hojat making medicine, and he mentions that the other settlers have not let him help them. She tries to trick him into telling her where they are, but he's not a dummy, so she starts begging. As she was doing so, Lu arrives. She's a female soldier, but we later learn she's actually one of the most important generals there. Lu tells Oren, I'll take you, but first, she makes Oren help her steal a barrel of wine from one side of the camp to her side. Lu then takes her to the saddler's tent and gives her 5 minutes. The saddlers, as always, treat Oren like shit. They hate her because of, as always, she has better treatment. She requests to talk to Lisa by herself. Risa tells her she will not give away her secret of being able to turn things into gold like Midas if she gives her enough gold once they are back with him in order to buy her freedom and not be a saddler anymore. Also, all the sailors are stressed and are waiting for when the soldiers are going to abuse them sexually. But as Rip said, his soldiers are educated and not animals, so no one will touch them. And while off she goes, Oren is relieved. She sees they are all doing alright and tells them to let Hojat heal them. Also, Oren was super surprised that Lu is a soldier. Lu explains to her that King Rock basically rocks and everyone has equal rights. Women are soldiers too. And I swear, guys, this was totally giving me Night Court vibes and I was loving it. She later has a meal in the tent with Rip and Osric. Once again, Rip tries to make conversation with her, trying to know more about her life, but she is still reluctant to trust him, which is understandable. They insult each other a little bit, as usual. She gets angry and does not want to eat, but Rip is like, come on, eat, don't be like that. So basically, don't be a baby. In the one hand, I was like, girl, eat, like you're hungry. But on the other hand, I was like, yeah, be petty, I will do the same. But Rip convinces her to eat and asks her why she doesn't remove her gloves to eat. And she's like, it's cold, duh. And Judisa was like, and all my questions were confirmed with that. But you will see in a little bit what I'm talking about. I won't spoil you like right away, but I'm pretty sure you know already what I'm gonna say later on or reveal or whatever. She later on starts to feel bad. She is sick, but she does not want to show it though. But when Rip came to escort her out of her carriage after a day of travel, she almost fainted. So he's like, you are sick. And she's like, no, I'm good. I was judging her for just like not telling him the truth, but I was like, I will have done the same. LOL. She loses consciousness and then she wakes up to Hoja touching her face to see if she has a fever or something. But you know, I told you she suffered a lot, right? Well, she instinctively puts her ribbons into action and they send poor Hojad flying to the other side of the tent. And to this, Rip, Hojad, and her start a staring contest and are like, awkward. She's too frantic about all this and she starts panicking. Hojad calms her down by playing dumb as he had not noticed her ribbons can move, and Rip does too a little. He's just like there doing nothing, just observing. Hojad starts treating her without touching her. She is more relaxed and he brings her a flower so she sleeps better to this. She tears up a little since she was super touched by the flower, and she's also torn apart by the fact that she likes Hojad and others in the camp, but they are the enemy and stuff. And then Hojad tells her that thanks to her, other saddlers left him cure them. And that the one who is pregnant is doing well. And to this, Orin loses it. The saddler is pregnant with Midas's baby. She has always wanted to give him that, but he never allowed it. And she feels very hurt by this. And then humiliated because Rip and Hojad saw her reaction. I felt bad for her. If I was her, I would have felt and done the same thing. She's quite relatable and I felt so bad for her. The poor thing, I swear. But well, then her meds kick in and she goes to sleep. Also, this helped me help her question her relationship with Midas even more. And I was like, yes, please open your eyes. Once she's healed, she continues her routine of looking for the birds and visiting the saddlers. And then she sees there are a lot of people reunited around a fight circle that Osric seems to run. She looks at them and she's like, a bunch of savages. Then a teen-looking boy who had served her food when she ate with Rip and Osric is called to fight in the circle with a man named Jude that looked way more knowledgeable. This triggers her since she was forced into fighting like this at some point in her life and her ribbons were torn down by people. It was really horrible. And she's like, no way. So she steps into the circle and she's like, I am not letting you abuse this child. And everyone was like, the audacity of this woman. The young guy tells her, like, I know you mean right, Lady Orin, but this is actually my choice. They let me train with them. I asked for this. And Osric is like, girl, what are you doing? If you do not know, ask. But the rules are if you step into the circle, you fight. And she's like, no fucking way, dude. And then Rip arrives and tells everyone to go away except for her and Osric and Jude. He explains that this is training, no one gets badly hurt, and that it's fun to train, but the rules are the rules, so she needs to fight if she wants to leave the circle. She's like, what the fuck, you guys are so weird. And he's like, the rules are the rules, and she has to fight him. And she's like, dude, what the hell, you're gonna crush me. And he's like, we shall see, let's go. And he removes his shirt since they fight shirtless, and she's like, oh my gosh, he's actually hot. And I was like, oh my gosh, I like where this is going. Yeah, he's a hottie, you know, like Midas. Men with dark hair are superior. And well, Rip teases her there. He tells her to unleash her power, to unleash her true self. And she's like, you do not understand what I've been through. I cannot do this. And he's like, Orin, the only person holding you back is yourself. Set yourself free. And then one thing led to another. And the dude goes like, tell me what you are, even though I already know, but say it. And the girl screams, I am Faye. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. The plot twist. I suspected she was Faye, so it did not take me by surprise that much. Like, I thought about it because of the ribbons. But since humans also have powers, I was like, I guess the Faye blood on her was stronger than usual. And I discarded the idea of her being Faye. But when the dude told her at the end of the book, like the first book, I know what you are, I was like, is she Faye? Because that will make a lot of sense. But well, She is, and after yelling it, he finally attacks her and tells her to let herself use her ribbons, and she tries, but it is hard for her, and after a couple of minutes, he's like, it's okay, go to bed, it's cool, and she's like, oh my gosh, what is his game? He's playing mind games with me, but my instinct tells me it is not like that. Also, only Rip's small group heard her yell about her true nature. The small group is composed of Osric, Lou, and Jude, who happen to be his most trusted soldiers and friends. Well, like, more than soldiers. Like, they're, like, important there. Their army, whatever. And I was like, this sounds like the inner circle in ACOTAR. And I love the found, like, family trope. I love it. I know I've been mentioning a lot of ACOTAR, but it's just I love those books so much. I can, like, you know, I always think about them. And well, of course, Orin starts to be trained by the inner circle and she starts to get along with everyone. They are buddies, but she's like, I need to remember they are my enemies. And I was like, girl, oh my gosh, they are so much better than mine. Switch sides already. I know it is hard, but geez. And well, of course, since now everything is starting to be good, something bad has to happen because authors love making us suffer. Orin, who is lovable, asks Keg for help to provide a bath to the saddlers. They prepare everything and she's all happy to be able to help them. But the little entitled pieces of shit decide to treat her terribly. Tell her she is a whore, that she betrayed their king, that she sleeps with Rip and probably others. She leaves because she is the bigger person, but she's triggered by this. She feels torn between her blind loyalty to Midas and her friendship with Rip and his soldiers. She gets an anxiety attack, and in the middle of it, she ends up finding the messenger birds and sends a message to Midas to let him know they are coming for him. But as soon as she sends it, she kind of regrets it, but like, she does not want to accept it, of course. She arrives at her shared tent with Rip and he kisses her in a really soft way, and now she feels even worse because this is the most tender kiss she has ever received and she loved it. The girl is totally falling for the dude. Rip tells her he knows she sent a message and then he leaves. She's now more torn and she was regretting sending it big time, but at the same time, she's loyal to Midas and had told Rip since day one she was always going to choose Midas. And I was suffering so much reading this. I was like, girl, no, don't be stupid. Open your eyes. But at the same time, I could not blame her, since if I were in her position, I would have probably done the same. The situation was so freaking frustrating. And well, after that day, Rip avoids her and does not talk to her. And she feels terrible about this. A couple of days go by and she was wandering around and almost fell, but Rip happened to be there and saved her. And they observed together this astronomical phenomenon happening then. And he tells her it used to be a fae celebration. And she opens up a little and tells him about her fae hometown. And of course, they make a connection there. And it's super cute. And I was like, oh my gosh, guys, just be together already. This enemies to lovers low burn romance is killing me. And now that everything is good again, of course, it just means everything is gonna go bad. The next night, before both kings discuss what is going to happen and Midas asks for his treasures to be returned, Rip asks to talk with her privately. He tells her basically to choose if she wants to go to Midas or if she wants to stay. And by all means, the dumbass says Midas. She says it is because, one, she's too scared to stay since all she knows is to hide. And two, she's still in love with Midas, even though she has her doubts now about him. But our girl is loyal. Rip is super disappointed in her and it hurts her to see it. So many conflicting emotions. I was suffering with her because I wanted her to stay, but I also understood why she chose Midas. So freaking frustrating. The next day, she's escorted by Rip and Osric to the castle of the Fifth Kingdom. Rip is super disappointed with her, so naturally, it is not a friendly goodbye, which hurts her deeply. And before going there, back in the camp, she witnessed from afar King Rod and his power. And she was surprised and disgusted by it, since she could feel his power in her bones. Rip and his friends back in the camp were telling her about her being just a trophy to Midas, that he does not love her whatsoever. Now that she's back with Midas, she wanted to tell him about her journey, but he was like, I'm busy. Look, I made you something though. And he shows her the cage he made in his closet for her. She's like, no, I won't go in there. But he forces her inside and tells the girl who was impersonating Oren to leave. Oren was fighting not to be trapped there and grabbed the other girl since she knew that if she left the cage, she was gonna lock Oren in. But she forgot her glove fell and turned the other girl into gold. Midas tells her, see, the cage is also to protect others. Later, you will turn this cage into gold. And once your senses come back, we shall talk. Now, bye. I have my meeting with King Rod. And well, at this point, it was official. Midas does not have powers. It is Oren. And obviously, that is why he has her in a cage, the little piece of shit. I hate Midas so much and how he put her in a cage. He forced her there. She goes then berserker in her cage. She uses her ribbons to knock on the doors and scream for help, for someone to set her free. And in her desperation, she's turning things into gold. And she was like, oh my gosh, Rip was right. I had the opportunity to be free and I blew it away. I felt so sad for her at that point. We now have a chapter in Midas' POV. He's like, the audacity of Oren to be like this. I will have to super manipulate her after so she goes back to being submissive. This dumb bitch, lol. And I was fuming while reading this. And well, King Rod and his general Sarip and the inner circle come. They arrive late, which infuriated Midas, and they ask not for gold, but for a part of the land in the Fifth Kingdom. So there is no war. Midas can only accept this, and then King Rod tells him they are going to be his guests here for a couple of days. Midas was reluctant for this, but he had no choice, so he accepts. Back to Oren, the sun finally sets and she says she can turn things into gold now. So now we know that about her power. She cannot use it after sundown. She keeps knocking though, but she feels defeated. And then she hears a commotion outside and then King Rod enters her room and calls her by the nickname Rip, and the inner circle call her Goldfinch. She feels betrayed that Rip told him that nickname. So she takes his jacket and throws it at him and tells him to give it to Rip. But since she had been using her powers, there were some remnant of it in the coat. And to this, the king is like, well, look what we have here. Now it makes more sense why Midas has you trapped. He knows she is the one with the powers to turn things into gold. And well, she's repulsed by his powers since I told you she can feel in her bones. And the dude is like, oh dear, you need to get used to my power. After all, you'll be seeing me a lot. He tells her Midas is hosting him and his soldiers for some days, and then more powers come out of him, and his features start transforming. And then he goes like, oh, Goldfinch, I ask you if you knew who I was. He did when he entered the room, and she said King Rod. But here in front of her, she has Rip. Rip is freaking King Rod. The plot twist. Oh my god. I felt so attacked by this plot twist. I did not see it coming whatsoever. And she feels so betrayed by this. And I was like, holy shit, what is going to happen? Oh my gosh, I am so shook. And I think Rip might make an alliance with Queen Melina later on, since, you know, the map that was supposed to show her how to achieve her desires, it showed the Seventh Kingdom. Well, I think this is related to Rip and probably Oren too, because they're fae, but I am not sure and I'm still shaking by the ending of this book. It was so freaking good. What a great book. These series are golden. Did you just see what I just did there? I am so smart. I hope you laughed. Next. Now, time for my overall thoughts. I really like this book. I think this author did a great job constructing the characters. They are quite complex. I really liked having Melina's POV. I think it enriched the story. I think throughout the book, I was very clear about how I felt about each character. I sincerely did not believe I was going to enjoy this book series as much as I am. I'm going to give this book a 5 out of 5 stars. It was amazing, and 1.5 out of 5 chili peppers of spiciness. There is only the Melina scene, but it's more NA than YA. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you did, please rate, share, and subscribe to my podcast. It will help me a lot. You can also find me on Instagram at your favorite YA bookworm, just like the title of the show. I'll see you next week with the retelling of probably book one of the Zodiac Academy. I also read months ago and wrote the script months ago. I will not be making an episode of the third book of the Guild series, as I read the book months ago, and since I was unmotivated, I did not write a script, and I don't remember the book well enough to retell it, and I don't think I will reread it because I want to read new books, but I'm planning on reading book 4, and I will probably do an episode on that one soon enough. Well, see you soon in the next episode. Goodbye now.